Hello, Bulls fans, and welcome to the 298th episode of the Chicago Bullseye. I am your host, Mark Lilienthal. With me, as always, is the man, the doctor, El Patron himself, Frederick Pfeiffer. Fred, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. You know, Mark, I prefer to be called Coach Fred now. I'm coaching my daughter in fifth grade basketball, girls basketball. I actually subbed in this weekend to coach boys basketball. I'm coaching all the time now. And the doctor's gone. I'm Coach Fred. Call me Coach Fred. Also partly in honor of Coach Hoiberg. Coach Fred.
How's your daughter's three-point shot? Is it all right?
It's not as good as mine yet. You know, fifth grade, still, they're still developing, still getting that strength.
And she is a girl.
My daughter's pretty good. She's got the skills I have as far as shooting. But, you know, I notice about girls' basketball in general, I don't know, a little bit less so for the boys, but you either got that aggressiveness or you don't. It's kind of a hard thing to teach. You know, some girls are naturally just drawn to conflict and, you know, just get in there and want to mix it up. And other
they probably come from abusive families.
Well, I don't know about that, but my daughter does not really want conflict. She's a little bit more, you know, laid back, Tony Snell.
She's like a Pau Gasol, really. It's like, your daughter is the Pau Gasol of the team.
No, that's an unfair characterization of Gasol.
I'm dissing Gasol there. So that's okay. Okay, I got it.
Big surprise. I'm defending the honor of Pau Gasol. Well, I tell you what. After last night, if anybody still doubts him, I mean, like I said before, I've never seen a player outside of possibly Ben Gordon so underappreciated in the city, taking so little and doing so much, and, you know, every other fifth sentence is he can't guard the pick and roll 30 feet out. Yeah, we know that. We know that. You know, every player has their faults. It's a good thing there's not many centers in the league that he has to really, you know, guard out there, and, you know, he shouldn't be defending the pick and roll 30 feet out with Pau Gasol. That's what Phil Jackson never asked him to guard anyone out 30 feet out, and he won two titles, so. But he does defend the rim exceptionally well, and I've always said he's the oil that makes this offense go. And last night, with almost a triple double, 26 or 25, 10, 6, I'm doing this off the top of my head. Just a phenomenal performance, and, you know, we end up beating the East leading Cavs and spoiling Lou's first day as a head coach. What say you?
I mean, look, I'm happy with the game. The fact is that coming into that game, we'd lost 6 of 8. This team is a little different. Like last year it was like you would beat the good teams and then lose to the bad teams. And this year is just this like roller coaster. But I mean, we've been beating good teams. I mean, 6 teams have beaten the San Antonio Spurs this year, and we are one of those 6 teams. Cleveland's only lost now they've lost 12 games with us, and we beat them twice. I mean, we've beaten Oklahoma City. We've beaten pretty much
Oklahoma
most
City
of the
twice.
Good.
You beat Oklahoma City twice, the Cavs twice, the Spurs, the Clippers.
I don't get it, though, man. Like, when you see us lose to the Celtics, when you see us lose, look, we have just lost 6 of 8. We are below us, we were 4th the last I looked, which was yesterday, and we had, 6 teams below had won 23 games. We'd won 24. So we're within one win of not even being in the playoffs. And, I mean, it's great that we beat Cleveland. It's great that we put our future to the throat, but there's this consistency with this team that, I mean, I thought that we were, the last time we did a show, I think we did one after the Jimmy Butler explosion, and I thought that we were about to take a turn, and then we took this dramatic downfall, and, you know, I don't know where we are right now. It's mind-boggling.
I just don't view it really as a major downfall. I know we lost 6 of 8, right? There's going to be ebbs and flows in every season. Last year, we had them. We had a 50-win team. We went 9-10. We had a horrible January. We went 9-10 without Dunleavy, and, you know, everybody acts like that season didn't happen. This year we're on pace, I think, at the halfway mark for 48 wins, which I believe is exactly what I predicted before the season started. My point is today, and it always has been, that the East is significantly better. Mark, there's 3 probable All-Stars in Chris Bosh, Paul George, and Carmelo Anthony, who basically didn't play last year. So all those teams are significantly better. You got Porzingis in New York.
You have other teams too, Detroit.
There's a ton of teams in the East that are significantly better than they were. And,
way better.
You know, it goes 10 deep. And to expect, when you play mouth breathers, this is how the schedule works, 82 games, 52 games are played against the Eastern Conference. If the Eastern Conference is significantly better, you could have a better team and still not win as many games. That's my only point. Indiana didn't have Paul George last year. Miami didn't have Bosch for the vast majority of the season. And New York didn't have Carmelo Anthony. All three of those teams are better this year. So,
look,
you know, everybody needs to calm down. The whole goal is, for once, I'd like Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler, and Gasol, all three cylinders rearing and roaring as we head into the playoffs. And I think we can make some noise. I think we can make the miracle.
And I want to give a little shout-out right now to D. Rose. I don't think people have necessarily appreciated the last, like, 5-6 games, how much better he's looked. Now, I know last night, you look at his stats last night, and his stats were terrible, shooting-wise. But he played great defense on Kyrie Irving. And the shots that he missed, I mean, look, it's one thing if you're bricking shots. It's another thing when they're going inside the hoop and then flying out. Like, it's just the luck of the draw. Derrick Rose got great looks last night. He could have just as easily have taken over the game. He didn't take over, but the fact was he just as easily could have. I mean, he got great. I mean, he was, like, right near the hoop. They were in and out. And, I mean, it was just a bad roll of the dice. But, I mean, coming into that, I mean, he was, like, 23 points a game over the last, like, 4 or 5 games, averaging, like, it was, like, 47% shooting, which is similar to what D. Rose was doing, you know, back in the Dizzy. So, you know, I hope people are appreciating the fact that, you know, we still haven't seen really this combo of Jimmy and Derek taking over at the same time and both being great. Generally, you see one of them be, you know, dominant. But over the last 5 games or so, Derek's been the one that's been the more aggressive one, frankly. Like, once Jimmy, you had those 2 games in a row, Jimmy's kind of backed off the nozzle a little bit here, and he's not looking like, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just, I never thought that Jimmy Butler was a James Harden. I just never did. And he certainly isn't looking like one right now.
Well, I don't diss on Jimmy. The fact is that Derek has looked much, much better in the recent few weeks. He's had a lot of those ooh and ah moments. I think the Milwaukee game was where I really first started to notice it, that his athleticism seems to be coming back. He seems to be really getting it. And although he was 5-for-21, you know, against Cleveland, it was very impressive how he was able to get to the rim. And the shots just weren't falling. He had so many that were in and out. But again, I do have to point to Gasol being so important for Butler and Rose. And if anyone doubts this, all you have to do is watch the game last night, put a pause on where Mozgov is guarding Gasol, and then go back to Game 4 or Game 5 of last year's playoffs and look where Mozgov is when Noah's on the floor. Mozgov was literally in the painted circle for the most part when Noah was out on the floor near the top of the key. And yesterday, Mozgov was above the free throw line every time Gasol had the ball. Those free throw lanes, those lines, that lane was completely open due to Gasol and his ability to hit a 17-foot jumper. So that guy's essential for Butler and Rose to really reach their peak. And when those three are working together and playing at a high level, I think the Bulls can beat anyone in the league, and that includes Golden State. The Golden State game, Gasol had his worst game since 2002. Butler was horrible in the first half. And I'm not saying they're going to beat Golden State in the series, but the good news is we don't have to worry about Golden State. The Spurs are going to probably beat them. That's my prediction. I'm going to go on a limb and say that. And we'll have to worry about the Spurs. And some teams we match up better against and some teams we don't. I think we match up much better against the Spurs, and I think that's a team that we can, you know, make the miracle and somehow win a title with. You know, I know a lot of people are laughing, listening to this, saying, what peace pipe am I smoking? I just really believe in the talent level of this team. Another big thing, though, Mark, is, you know, in Mirotić, it's night and day how much better the Bulls are when you have Mirotić step up like
that. Oh, my God.
He's
done it a million times. Casey said it during the game. It's like, look, as great of a game as he's having, we've seen him have these games before. Let's see him string a couple games together.
No, I don't think he will. I think you're exactly right. He's a streaky shooter. Unfortunately, that's what he is after, you know, year and a half. I'd like to see him improve. I think he would improve if his shot selection was better. And I thought I did see a little bit of that yesterday. I saw him pass up a couple contested threes that I think he might have probably shot up before. And every shot he took, I thought, was pretty much a good shot. I mean, that's my biggest issue with Nico is I don't think he shoots well because his shot selection is so poor sometimes. And, you know, I know he'll hit like a 35-footer like he did against New York, and everybody, you know, claps and says that's great. But for the most part, he'll take nine of those, and he'll miss, you know, 10 of those, he'll miss nine of them. So I don't think that's something that should be encouraged. I'd like to see him go in the post a lot more. And him and Gasol really have a nice inside-outside game when Gasol's in the post, and he's up open at the three-point line. And when he's shooting with confidence, you know, Nico, the team is exponentially better when he plays well. Just unfortunately, he's few and far between this year.
Yeah, and look, I mean, look, it's been, you have a new coach, you have Derek trying to find his way after really, I mean, just everything that's happened in his career, for the love of God, I mean, this is like the most healthy he's ever been, and it's just like, you know, trying to find his way back into this offense with Jimmy being a handful of steps up from the player that he was last year. This is the most talented Bulls team that we've had since Michael Jordan, and I don't think that there's a question there. I don't think there's a question. This is the best team we've had. Can we win a title? I mean, look, I mean, it's just like before. It's just like before. I mean, the option's on the table. You want to give yourself the best chance to win. I mean, I think that we're a team that's playing for a championship. We're not playing for, you know, a draft pick. I mean, we're certainly, I think, a team that, you know, you have a chance. I don't think that we have great chances, but we have a chance. Now, look, we lost to Cleveland last year. So, it's, I mean, there's differences, but so far the difference in coaching has not proven to be this dramatic difference on this team. So, if that's not the case, then what is the difference? Because Derek so far this year has not been as good as he was last year, though he's becoming better. Jimmy's been better, but besides that, it's been a pretty similar team to what we had last year for the most part. I mean, what's to make you think that we're going to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, especially if they're healthy? They beat us last year without two of their best players.
I think we can beat them. We're 2-0 already against them. Yeah, and we also, everybody seems to forget that Gasol basically missed 4 out of 6 games.
That's true.
We were 1-1 with them. Everybody forgets, Mark, that, you know, we were LeBron Miracle 3 away from going up 3-1 on Cleveland. I'm not saying we're going to be favored against them. I still feel in a series against Cleveland, I think we have about a 35-40% chance of upsetting them in over a 7-game series. And for that reason, I don't believe in breaking up the team. I think if there's a chance you could win a title. Another thing I stated yesterday, and I know you don't depend on injuries, especially to somebody like LeBron James, but what happens if LeBron James was injured? Would Cleveland actually be better than Miami? I don't think so. I don't think they'd be a better team than Miami. So wouldn't the Bulls be the prohibitive favorite if something, you know, happened to LeBron? And I'm not saying that's what you depend on, but wouldn't you kind of feel like a jackass if you made a trade and then, lo and behold, there is an injury to LeBron, and you just blew a shot of playing in the finals because you broke up a team that actually had a legitimate shot of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. Our chances of winning a title would be pretty minute and small, but there's still a chance, you know, and if there is a chance, I don't believe in breaking it up because you're playing.
Who's talking about breaking it up? I'm not talking about it. Fred, I agree.
Talking about breaking it up. Have you been paying attention in the last few weeks? Another thing I'd like to mention. Golden State lost at Detroit. Golden State lost to Milwaukee. It's the NBA. When the Bulls lose to a good team like Boston, let's not act like the sky is falling. Yeah, it's disappointing when you lose at home to the Nets. That shouldn't happen a lot. And it's
but when you've lost 6 of 8, look, Fred, I agree with you. When you have a chance to win, and the fact is, when you say something like that, chance to win, when you look at cities right now with a chance to win, when you talk about the best teams in the NBA, you are talking at least 3 teams, Cleveland, Golden State, and San Antonio Spurs. But when you're talking about cities that feel like they have a legit chance to win, that are, you know, a chance, Oklahoma City, Houston, even though you know, they're in the playoff mix right now, say a handful of teams. And if you feel like you have that chance, it has been 10 years. Since Michael, it's been, 18 years since Michael Jordan, and this is by far the best team that we've ever had. Why would you want to even discuss breaking it apart when, so what? Even if you lose to Cleveland this year, next year, and even if you never get there, the fact is that when you rebuild, you don't know that you're ever even going to get this good again. I mean, to build a championship caliber team, you know, I mean, a lot of things have to work out for you, a lot of things, and there is no guarantee. You break this thing up, there's no guarantee you're ever going to get this good again. So you might as well ride your chances with what you got and try to make the best chance you can with this team and see if you can do it. And if you can't, you can't. I'm not saying break the team up by any stretch. But do I think that this team will beat Cleveland? No, they're not shown the dominance yet to be able to beat the best teams in the NBA on a consistent basis. I don't believe. I think they're too shaky. They're right now like the fourth best team in the East. There was in a game or two of not being in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
The team is playing significantly better this year without Dunleavy than it played last year without Dunleavy. I'd like to see how, when
Agreed.
We got Dunleavy back last year, we had a massive improvement. I'd like to see how the team looks this year when we get Dunleavy back. And I know people are laughing, Dunleavy, listen to yourself, he's a role player. Again, this offense is predicated on good outside shooting. We got Doug McDermott, who's top 10 in the league in three-point shooting. Everybody else in his team, I think, is sorely lacking in point shooting and ability to hit outside jumpers, or at least to get the respect of the opposition. That's why Dunleavy is so stinking important. It's because he's a professional, really good outside shooter who demands respect and does extend the defense. And I think that makes everything else better. So, I don't know. If you're all for breaking it up and trading Gasol, which is the only guy, in my opinion, realistically, that we're going to get something back for. I mean, of course, you could trade Jimmy Butler, but how stupid would that be?
I don't want to trade Gasol, man. I want Gasol to come back next year. I want to keep taking a shot at this while we can. Look, you can always be the Dallas Mavericks and have that 1 year. We're not going to be some dynasty, probably, but could we, if the cards work in our favor, potentially win a title and win one title? Maybe. Maybe.
That's a great comparison, Mark, because I can guarantee you at this point in Dallas Mavericks season when they won the title in January, no one gave that team a legitimate chance of winning a title. And if Rose catches fire for whatever, or Butler catches fire and really plays incredible, the miracles could happen. I really believe that. And as long as there's that chance, I'm not for breaking this up. Love to get your opinion, everyone. ChicagoBullseye@gmail.com. Follow me at CBEFred. CBEFred.
These aren't miracles, though, like the 76ers winning a title here. Like, you're not pulling that far off. And the fact is, this is a very talented team. And Derek said it yesterday, I think, that this is the best team he's ever played on. That's true. Could you imagine if Derek Rose was the Derek Rose of 2010 on this team? Good Lord. But he's not. It's unfortunate. But this is the best team that Derek has ever played on. This is the best Chicago Bulls team we've had. Do I think that this is the best team we've had since Jordan? For sure. I don't think it's even close. And
I disagree with that. Derek actually said that yesterday. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that the 2011-2012 team that led the league in wins, wasn't better than this team?
Talent-wise?
Could have won a title. I mean, you had Noah at his athletic peak. You had Taj at his athletic peak. Those guys are nowhere near
Agreed.
The athletes that
and
they were at that time.
You cannot underestimate the fact that Derek was Derek. And when Derek was Derek back in the day, the fact is, I don't care that we had Jimmy Butler, didn't have Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is not what Derrick Rose was, and that's it. He's just not, and he never will be, and I don't care what anybody says. Derrick Rose is one of the dominant players of the NBA, one of the top, he won the MVP the year before, one of the top two. So no matter, even if you've got, even if you say Derrick is a top 15 point guard and Jimmy Butler is a top 3 shooting guard, that does not equal out to what you had in Derrick Rose that 1 year. I would take... I mean, it's just you can't quantify what a player like that means to your team. So, but even so, beyond that though, I mean, with Portis and with Nico, I mean, this is Snell. You have a deeper team than I think you've ever had. Even the team in that season, because I mean, look, Rip never played that year. Yeah, I mean, you were trying to make up. Remember the year before that, you didn't even have a two guard. Rip barely played that year. I mean, Noah was good,
Korver, he had one of the best three-point shooters.
Not that year, you didn't. Korver was only there for 1 year.
No, he was there for 2 years, Mark. He played 2 years for the Bulls.
Did he?
Yeah, don't debate.
You're right. He was there the ACL year. So he was there the ACL year.
So, but, that's a good point. Butler, obviously, is top 15. I don't think the Bulls had anybody outside of Rose that was top 15 in the NBA. But Rose was clearly, at that time, top 5. I mean, he won the MVP. he was a top five player in the NBA. Right now, Butler's, I think, between 10 and 15, and Rose is, he's not top 15. I don't think he is. Maybe top 30, but he's not.
Wait a minute, top 30. Top 30? Oh, top 30 in the league, you mean?
Top 30 in the league, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant in his position. I was like, good Lord.
I wonder
maybe,
where
yeah,
Rose
yeah.
would fall. I wonder where Rose would fall in most people's, you know, if you're picking 30 guys in the NBA, let's have a pickup game. Where would Rose fall? Would he be picked in the top 30?
Can I ask you a question?
Probably.
If I offer you Kyle Lowry today for Derrick Rose, do you do it?
Man, I really love Derrick, so that's hard for me to say. I know everybody would probably say, well, Kyle Lowry doesn't have the injury history. He's more durable. I think you'd have to take Kyle Lowry. Is he younger than Derrick? I don't know. How old is Lowry compared to Derrick? Do you have
I'm not sure.
I'm in the car.
I don't have it in front of me. But, I mean, he's an all-star this year. I mean, the thing is that I still believe that Derrick, I mean, do I think that he will take over and be the same Derrick Rose that he was before again? No. But do I think that he could? You see enough flashes, and he's gotten progressively better as the season gone on. I mean, like, you know, when people try to say that he's not even, like, you know, the best of the top 30 point guards in the league, I think it's insane. Like,
well, he's been, the last 2 weeks, he's played like a top 30 NBA player. For the season, you can't make the argument he's been top 30, shooting under 40%. For the vast majority of the year.
No, but he showed enough, though. He showed enough where you were like,
the last 2 weeks, he was clearly, hey, he's back to top 30. So, I mean, if he can continue that, that's a really good topic we should maybe have on the next show. Is Derrick Rose still a top 30 NBA player? He's got it.
He can still take over games. That's the thing, is that when you start to look at other players that may have been more consistent than Derrick this year, they don't take over games. They can't take over games. They're not capable. Derrick Rose is still capable of taking over games, and you're seeing him do it more and more. And the fact is that he can. And that's a skill. Like, he still has that elite skill of being able to just get the ball in his hands, and he will figure it out. He can still, especially in clutch, I don't care what you say about his field goal percentage, there's never been a period in his career where he has not been able to do it at the end of games. I mean, he's missed shots, but as a whole, at the end of games, you've been able to trust him throughout his entire career, even when he hasn't been playing so well. And it's a unique talent to have. And, people underrate it. It's been making me sick this year just reading the Chicago media. I try to avoid it because just the way that they crap on Derrick and just get rid of him, and it's just like, dude, Derrick is, in my opinion, still, I mean, good Lord. I mean, you look at it, he's easily a top 15 point guard. It's just like, but if you're rolling the dice, maybe he's a top 15, top 20, top 15 point guard, but if you're rolling the dice, there's that chance that Derrick could be a top, like, he has the athletic ability, the speed, he has the tools to be able to be this great, you know, to have these moments that he does have. Other point guards of that region of point guardists, they don't have that. There's, you know, Kyle Lowry's Kyle Lowry, Ty Lawson, those type of guys. They're those guys. They're not going to have moments where they just take over. Derrick still can.
You know what bothers me? You just brought up a good point. The media, you talk about the media covers the team. Also the fans, to a certain extent. You know, I'm reading, Cleveland shot horrific yesterday. I think it was one of the lowest games they've had as far as shooting from the outside all season, if not the worst. And all you read online is, oh, Cleveland, look how lucky the Bulls are that Cleveland's cold tonight. The Bulls are number one in the league in opponent field goal percentage. You get no credit for that? So, I don't know. Maybe there's a correlation with the Cavs having a horrible night shooting the ball and the fact the Bulls are freaking number one in the league in that statistic. Maybe they have something to do with that. But no, the Cavs are cold, mm-hmm. and the Bulls had absolutely nothing to do with it. It's so stupid how a vast percentage of the fan base can act like, oh, the Bulls had nothing to do with it. They're number one in the league! Number one in the league! Yet, the Bulls had nothing to do with it! I can't take it anymore, Mark. I can't take it. I gotta calm down. I'm driving right now. But did you notice that? All the up
yes.
and down Twitter. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
There's no question. Nobody's respecting what we're doing. And the fact is that we were the second best team in the East up until like a week ago. Now we're like fourth. But I mean, whatever, within like a game of being second. I mean, they've had a pretty good season, especially despite the coaching change. But there have been moments where they've looked dominant. And you got. I don't like this. Let's just support them when they're at that point. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to fall into place, but
you
I'm fully supportive of us watching this try to fall into place.
You have a bunch of pathetic, tib loving, mouth breathing fans who reflexively hate management and everything they do, and just assuming that they're just waiting for the team to falter or have issues, completely ignoring the fact all the injuries we've had, Dunleavy's been out, completely ignoring the fact how good they've played against the better teams, how much better the East is. Let's just ignore all that and just jump out at every opportunity to say how much Fred Hoiberg sucks and management
Derek
sucks and his team sucks, Derek sucks, and we should just start all over. I'm so sick of it. I really am.
I'm enjoying the ride. Are you as a Bulls fan, Fred, right now? I mean, are you unhappy with this season?
I love the team. I have a hard time.
I'm cool with this team. I'm enjoying the season. I'm having a good time. I don't want to break this up. I don't want to watch us rebuild.
I can't remember who I saw from on Twitter. Some guy had the nerve to tweet. He felt he enjoyed watching all the Ron Mercer teams more than this team. And I'm just like, what? Are you freaking kidding me? Really? I lived through freaking Ron Mercer and Jerry Krause. I called every post-game show and complained that there was no – what is this abyss of six seasons of disasters? And how spoiled are you, really?
You'd rather watch a 25-win team.